according to many Catholic writers, the Antichrist's way is going to be prepared through the spread of naturalism, and it looks like a naturalist religion will be a key feature of his initial persecution of the Church. Hello, my friends. In the last show, we were looking at what Catholic authorities expect to see from the Antichrist and how similar this is to what some Jewish groups expect to see from their earthly Messiah. In this part, we're going to look at what both groups expect to be the religious system imposed by these respective figures. And to me, they sound like the very same thing. But I'm going to let you decide. Stay tuned.
Truth has a power of its own. It moves hearts and saves lives. It heals wounds and restores souls, but only if it is heard. That's why our enemies are working nonstop to suppress the truth. That's why LifeSite News is the most censored life, faith, and family news source in the world. They are working to keep you in the dark. They are working overtime to make you feel alone and forgotten. But God says, I will never forget you. God never leaves us without hope of victory. And LifeSite News will never stop sharing the truth that sets us free. We will tell the truth without fear. We will tell the truth without compromise. And as mainstream platforms silence us, we will build our own. That's why I'm pleased to announce today the launch of the new LSN TV app, which can bring all of LifeSite News' top video content direct to your phone, tablet, computer, and TV so that you can bypass the censors and keep fighting with us for life, faith, family, and freedom. Don't be alone in the darkness. We've been canceled. Fight the cancellation. Download the app.
Let's begin as we always do with the sign of the cross. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. So let's pick up from where we left off in the last show. We'd been looking at the Catholic expectations about the Antichrist and how eerily similar these are to the expectations which some Jewish groups have for the coming of their earthly Messiah, or Moshiach, as they call him. I'd really encourage you to go to take a look at the last show, but just to recap, over the centuries, Catholic theologians, saints, and mystics have held that the Antichrist will persecute the Church with a false religion imposed at the expense of the true religion. They say he'll start with a show of benevolence, and they expect his religious system to be one which claims to make men good, naturally good, without Christ, of course, and Christ's grace. There's a term for such a system. It's called naturalism. It's a ruling out or a setting aside of the supernatural order and its divine revelation. In the public sphere, it also appears as a secularization of society and a denial that the state has duties towards God and the true religion. This idea has been condemned by multiple popes. Pope St. Leo XIII called it, and I quote, the legal apostasy of society from its divine author, end quote. In practice, it's treating Christianity as one of the many possible religions and allowing our Lord Jesus Christ, at best, to be placed in a pantheon of gods or wise moral teachers, but without affirming the truth that he is Jesus, the divine Messiah, the redeemer of the human race, and the second person of the triune God. So, this denial is itself the special mark of Antichrist, according to St. John in his epistles. And in the last show, we saw that the famous sage, Rabbi Moses ben Maimon, or Maimonides, as he's called, stated very similar things about the earthly Moshiach. He said that the Moshiach would rebuild the Jerusalem temple and bring the whole world into the worship of the true God together. But he didn't say that the whole world would become Jewish. Certainly not. On the contrary, he believed, and he's followed by many in this belief, that the true religion for non-Jews is something called the seven Noahide laws. These laws consist of a prohibition of idolatry and six other pretty basic moral precepts. But the question is, are they compatible with Christianity? There is no clear answer on that. On the one hand, many proponents think that Christianity is a form of idolatry, and check out the last show to see what they think should be done to Christians, by the way. And on the other hand, some think that it can be tolerated, that Christianity can be tolerated, provided that Christianity is purified of some of its idolatrous features, like the Trinity and the dogma of the Incarnation. Given the animus we've seen toward the person of our Lord Jesus Christ, even that doesn't seem very likely. And anyway, we definitely couldn't accept such a purification, because that would just be apostasy. But now, in this part of the series, we're going to see what Catholic theologians and mystics have expected from the false religion which the Antichrist will force on the world at the expense of the Catholic faith, and how this false religion is actually already spreading across the world today. The enormously influential Jewish sage Maimonides, whom we've talked about several times already, thinks that it is actually a commandment to compel observance of the Noahide religion. He writes, and I quote, "Moses was commanded by the Almighty to compel all the inhabitants of the world to accept the commandments given to Noah's descendants," end quote. And Maimonides added that, quote, "If one does not accept these commands, he should be executed," end quote. First of all, let's be clear. These texts appear in a chapter about armies invading Gentile territory. It's not clear whether he also intends this death sentence to apply as a general rule, whether now or when the Moshiach comes. Many, or possibly most, rabbis have taken a different view to Maimonides on whether there is a positive commandment to spread the Noahide laws to non-Jews. However, there is one extremely influential Jewish group that does indeed follow Maimonides in seeing that this mitzvah or commandment be fulfilled. More on them shortly. So first of all, let's look at some saints. According to many Catholic writers, the Antichrist's way is going to be prepared through the spread of naturalism, and it looks like a naturalist religion will be a key feature of his initial persecution of the Church. This dual approach to the Antichrist, the Jewish religion for the Jews and Noahidism for everyone else, even appears in what St. Hildegard von Bingen saw in Revelations from our Lord in the year 1179. These revelations seem to have been approved by Pope Eugene III, by the way, and the similarities are about to get really weird. First, St. Hildegard says that the Antichrist will propose a simple and liberal doctrine, which will involve the rejection of baptism and the gospel. Antichrist will say, according to St. Hildegard, and I quote, "Jesus of Nazareth is not the Son of God, only a deceiver who gave himself out as God, and the church instituted by him is only superstition," end quote. He will say that the true Christ has finally come in his person. He will say, "I am the Savior of the world," end quote. He will try to convince the Jews that he is their Moshiach, and he will succeed. And then St. Hildegard describes this minimalist naturalist religion in these words, I quote, "His doctrine of faith will be taken from the Jewish religion and seemingly will not differ much from the fundamental doctrine of Christianity. For he will teach that there is one God who created the world, who is omniscient and knows the thoughts of man and is just, who rewards the obeyers of his commands and the trespassers he chastises, who will raise all from the dead in due time," end quote. She goes on saying, and I quote again, "Religion he will endeavor to make convenient. He will say that you need not fast and embitter your life by renunciation, as the people of former times did when they had no sense of God's goodness. It will suffice to love God," end quote. So, it's a naturalist religion which denies Christ and his revelation, or at least treats him as a mere man, while also being similar to Christianity in superficial, minimalist ways. Could we think of a better definition of the Noahide religion? Remember that Jewish writer who called Noahidism a form or a set of vague moral guidelines? But also, could we think of a better definition of naturalism advanced by Freemasonry and the Enlightenment? This is the same vision in Monsignor Robert Hugh Benson's classic novel, The Lord of the World, which depicts the Antichrist figure beginning with a hybrid religion of moralism, humanism, naturalism, and paganism. Similar ideas were advanced by the theologians and writers whom you can read about in the links below. The spread of this naturalism is also key for the preparation of both Antichrist and Moshiach. As we've seen, the Antichrist spirit of naturalism has advanced incredibly over recent centuries. Pope Saint Pius X said in his first encyclical in 1903 that this demonstrated that the preparation for Antichrist was well underway. He said that because of this anti-Christian naturalism, and I quote, "This is the distinguishing mark of Antichrist. Man with infinite temerity has put himself in the place of God, raising himself above all that is called God. He has contemned God's majesty and, as it were, made of the universe a temple wherein he himself is to be adored." That is, man himself is to be adored. "He sits in the temple of God, showing himself as if he were God," end quote. So, if you caught that, this saintly pope compared the Antichrist sitting in the temple with naturalism and its ultimate destination, the cult of man, the worship of man himself. And it's for this reason the pope said in the same encyclical, and I quote, "There may be already in the world the son of perdition of whom the apostle speaks," end quote. The idea that naturalism will be a forerunner to the Antichrist and will create the necessary conditions for his coming is not uncommon. Father Michael Muller, writing in the 19th century, said that, quote, "Antichrist had the Freemasons as his forerunners to prepare the hearts of his followers," end quote. And that's to prepare the hearts of his followers with a variety of vices, including irreligion and unbelief, the essence of naturalism. Other writers say similar things, marking the convergence of naturalism, Freemasonry, modernism, pantheism, and various other isms of our day. One said, and I quote, "A prelude to," and that's to the final struggle between Christ and Antichrist, "may be seen in the errors of modernism, which has been rightly designated a synthesis of all heresies." So there are several 19th century churchmen, such as the famous English Cardinal Manning, who talked about this in terms of the return of paganism. We've seen aspects of full-on paganism already from Pope Francis with the Pachamama and the Western Grandmother. Look that up on LifeSite if you don't know what I'm talking about. But Cardinal Manning said that this paganism will also appear in the more refined form of the ancient Roman and Greek societies, in the attempt to build the natural society of men without God, and the removing belief in the incarnation from the social order of a nation and relegating it to the private sphere. Even in his day, many writers were pointing to the link of the removal of Christianity from public life, in the schools, in the army, in the courts, parliaments, and so on. It's obviously much worse today. The denial, implicit or explicit, of the state's duty to acknowledge the triune God is another outgrowth of that special mark of the Antichrist. And several such writers suggested that this and wider spread of naturalism is what's paving the way for the coming of the Antichrist. Now, we've seen enough to recognize that all these different lines, Freemasonry, naturalism, modernism, the Noahide laws, and many other anti-Christian ideologies are coming together in one place. And that, as far as we're concerned, is the place of Antichrist. And as far as some others are concerned, it's also the place of the Moshiach. Now, more than all of that, both groups, that is, Catholic scholars and saints, and as some of the Jewish sects, both groups expect them ultimately to be a synthesis. And more than that, both groups expect them ultimately to be synthesized into one concrete religious system imposed at the expense of Christianity. I also mentioned that a really significant international Jewish organization thinks that it is a mitzvah, a commandment, to spread the Noahide laws across the world. Not only that, this group also believes that in spreading this naturalist religion for Gentiles, they are directly preparing the ground for the coming of their earthly Moshiach. This group is called Chabad Lubavitch. They're the Hasidic group based in New York and one of the biggest and most influential Jewish outreach groups in the world. Their late leader, who died in 1994, was Rabbi Menachem Mendel Schneerson, known by many as the Rebbe or the Lubavitcher Rebbe. Schneerson is at the heart of this group in its modern incarnation. In fact, a sizable number of Chabad Lubavitcher adherents actually think that Schneerson himself was the Moshiach, that's their Messiah, and is either in hiding or will come back from the dead when they have made the conditions right. There are stickers and billboards in Crown Heights, New York, to that effect, by the way. It will take a while to describe Schneerson's influence, and we'll save that for a really important report we have coming from Dr. Micah Hickson. This is just a preview of some of her findings. It's Rabbi Schneerson himself and his personal magnetism that have transformed this Hasidic sect into the concerning powerhouse that it is today. Even if you think you haven't heard of them before, you definitely have. Back in January, a riot broke out at their headquarters in Crown Heights, New York, over a secret tunnel that was found beneath their headquarters. This was reported as taking place at a New York City synagogue, but that's like calling the Basilica of the National Shrine of the Immaculate Conception a Washington, D.C. chapel. It is the Chabad Lubavitch headquarters, and that's kind of a big deal, but of course it wasn't mentioned that way. You will also have seen Chabad Lubavitcher rabbis and representatives around world leaders and celebrities over many years. It also has a significant influence in the Israeli government and politics today. And this is really important given the ongoing conflict in the Holy Land. Chabad habitually have national leaders light their Hanukkah memorials, and they're normally the ones installing the big ones in public. They have links with the World Economic Forum and even George Soros, as well as political figures across the world. They're well connected in groups around Temple Mount in Jerusalem, and we've already seen the significance of that. And it's not completely clear whether they think, like some groups do, that they need to build the temple before the Moshiach can come, but this is definitely one of their most cherished hopes, as Dr. Hickson's report is going to show. But they are perhaps most known among Jewish people for their street evangelization to Jews, trying to affirm Jewish identity by handing out Shabbat candles to Jewish women and encouraging Jewish men to put on tefillin for prayer. Here's an example.
Hi there, guys. Today, Julius had his bar mitzvah. He's a Jewish boy, and he should never forget he was born a Jew, he's going to die a Jew, and he has to remember where he comes from, and we're all good people. Everybody, we should all get along, and guys, I appreciate your good work. It's no disrespect to you. It's all your good work. They came here, they wanted to give out pamphlets of... Julius realized that today is a special day.
Chabad Lubavitch are also well known for that joyful spirit so evident in the representative there. But did you catch the naturalism in that video? We're all good people, they said. We're not all spiritually good, though, and we're not going to see God with merely natural goodness. For similar reasons, they are also deeply involved in promoting the Noahide laws across the world. They've been commended for this by American presidents and by Congress. They're doing this explicitly, by the way, as a means of hastening the coming of the Moshiach. And that's no secret at all. Here's a video of a Chabad rabbi discussing this. Listen.
As the Rebbe explains, the reason why the Rambam writes down in Sefer Yad HaChazaka all of the dinim of the Bnei Noach right prior to the final two chapters, which deal with the redemption, with the final redemption. That's because in human history, when will there be an awakening of Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach right before the coming of Mashiach. And therefore, part of the hachana of bringing Mashiach is to make much, much bigger campaigns to educate the world with the Sheva Mitzvos, just to share an idea that came up here.
So let's pause for a sec. Some of that can be hard to understand because all of the Hebrew. So Ben Noach means sons of Noah. So now let's carry on and see some of the strategies discussed. So if your child has a moment of silence in a public school in America, that's because and a fruit of Chabad's campaigning. This idea to bring about a spiritual awakening without Christ, which they think is disposing us to the Noahide laws and for the coming of the Moshiach, is that a surprise? Well, not when you think about it. A moment's silence is basically a moment where we can either reflect in a naturally good way or each can pray to God in a way that renders Christ a private God amongst others. It's naturalism. So I've talked about Maimonides a lot in this video. Not all Jews and Gurush groups follow him, but Chabad Lubavitch are one of the foremost promoters of this authority in the world today. They follow many of Maimonides' opinions and encourage their supporters and members to read and study three chapters of his work each day. They have some of their own ideas too, of course, derived in part from Schneerson, as well as from their previous leaders and other monuments of Jewish theology, law, and mysticism. Just a moment ago, I mentioned that we're not all supernaturally good, and that natural goodness is not what will take us to heaven, of course, as Catholic teaching affirms. But the Jews see this quite differently, especially those of Chabad Lubavitch. One concerning idea spread by Schneerson is that each Jewish person has an additional divine soul, or a Jewish soul or spark, tending towards goodness and assisting him in observing the Torah. By contrast, they hold that a Gentile, that's you and me, only has an animal soul, tending toward what is evil. This group holds similar views about the differences between Jewish and non-Jewish bodies. Now, according to Schneerson and others of the same view, if someone is born a Jew, he is a Jew for life. This is because he has a special Jewish soul which he cannot lose even if he converts to Christianity. Such a conversion, says Schneerson, is, and I quote, the biggest sin which a Jew could make and a form of sickness. But let's hear what he said to Daniel Lifshitz, a Jewish-born Catholic missionary who tried to share the gospel with him.
If someone was born a Jew, he is a Jew for all his life.
Yes, I know.
And he cannot change it. He can make only his life more complicated.
No, my life is much better today. My life is not miserable today.
If someone is thinking about his illness, that is a healthy thing, that is only a sign that his illness is more possible and needs a refuel, a guérison, a treatment as soon as possible.
Pray for me, but I am very glad, because for me, Jesus Christ is the Messiah.
Yeah, as I said before, if you are thinking about yourself as a healthy person, it's actually only a sign that you are more ill, that someone is thinking about you.
Schneerson told Lifshitz that he'll be praying that he repents and is forgiven for the biggest sin that can be done. Not just being a Christian per se, but for a Jew to be a Christian. Let's take a look.
And God Almighty bless you that you became healthy. It's amazing to become a Jew openly and to reclaim for all the people around you that it was a big error, but God Almighty has so much mercy and He is forgiving even for the biggest sin that can be done.
Rabbi, pray for me.
As I said before, that's the only sign that your illness is much deeper than you imagine and I imagine. And God Almighty bless you to have good news.
And then he tells Lifshitz not to talk to any of the other Jews at the reception about our Lord Jesus Christ, and take a look at what he does with Lifshitz's book. Watch.
God Almighty bless you to have good news, and don't enter in, people don't enter in discussion about what you are. You are born a Jew.
I'm always a Jew.
Yeah, and there will be a Jew, and a Jew openly, and all see all person around you, especially your family, you acclaim your strength to reclaim that someone that performed a big sin. Nevertheless, he has the God Almighty strength to recover from his deep illness, and as soon as you do it, as soon as Mashiach will come, the real Mashiach.
Can I give you the book?
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you,
That will prevent you to give it to someone else, and then give someone else to do something wrong.
Unreal. And did you hear what he said about the real Moshiach? That's the most relevant part to this series so far. Schneerson actually taught the following in 1983 about what will happen when the earthly Moshiach comes, and I quote, "The Gentiles will realize that the purpose of their existence is to serve the Jews." And I continue to quote, "The existence of even the enemies of the Jewish people will be transformed through the revelation of godliness in the Messianic age, and they will serve and assist the Jews," end quote. In light of all this, we cannot help but be disturbed by President Ronald Reagan's statement about Schneerson. And I quote, this is from Reagan about Schneerson, I quote, "He has provided a vivid example of the eternal validity of the seven Noahide laws, a moral code for all of us, regardless of religious faith. May he go from strength to strength," end quote. Reagan is joined by many others in praising Schneerson and his movement. It's not clear how many of those associated with Chabad are aware of these ideas. We're certainly not saying they hold them themselves, given the significance of these ideas, these connections, and the current war, LifeSite News is publishing important articles by Dr. Micah Hickson on the Chabad Lubavitch group and its international audience. What we've found is going to be quite surprising, especially in light of what we've talked about in this video. In the meantime, we've covered a lot of ground in this video and in the previous one. I told you that it was going to be a deep dive. We've seen that the spread of naturalism in the public and private spheres is a key means of preparing the world for the Antichrist and for the Moshiach, who appear to be the same person. This naturalism is in the air we breathe today. It's present in the conservative and even in the Catholic world. There's a constant temptation to adopt terms like Judeo-Christian values and to focus on what supposedly unites us. In other words, making a virtue of long-term political alliances with those of all faiths and none, and making a virtue of advancing the common good without regard for Christ or the supernatural order, as if it doesn't matter if we set them aside. Yes, we have to work with those we have to work with, but it's a delicate line, and it's easy to start treating temporary pragmatic alliances like this as if they're normal. Even if we do this in defense of conservative values, it is more or less adopting the principles of naturalism, Freemasonry, and it seems preparing the way for the Antichrist and the earthly Moshiach. Pope St. Pius X wrote about this kind of naturalist political work in the early 20th century, and he said, and I quote, "The great movement of apostasy being organized in every country for the establishment of a one-world church, which shall have neither dogmas nor hierarchy, neither discipline for the mind nor curb the passions," end quote. On the contrary, we need to proclaim the kingship of Christ over society and the absolute sovereignty of the supernatural order. I've talked a lot about the Jewish people in this show, about what Catholic authorities say they will do towards the end of the world and how some of their most influential figures align this in ways that are absolutely opposed to what we must believe as Catholics. So none of that gives me any pleasure. So if any Jewish people have made it this far through what must be a painful show to listen to, here's my message for you. As I said in a previous video, in my heart, I hold immense love and gratitude for the Jewish people. Your heritage has molded my life, inspired my mind and heart, and gives my life meaning and purpose. We love you. I can speak on behalf of all Catholics. We love you. We don't believe in special Jewish or Christian souls. We are all one race, descended from Adam. We are one race for whom our shared divine Messiah, Jesus Christ, shed his most precious blood for the glory of God. We are natural brothers, and we could be supernatural brothers too. We count your ancestry as our own spiritual ancestry as well. We revere the saints of your ancient fathers, we honor them, and we implore God that we may follow their example of unyielding fidelity. We are grateful beyond words for the grace that your people have bestowed on the world. And although you may disown him, the greatest grace your people have given the world is Jesus Christ himself. It was your people, it was the Jewish people, in the person of his apostles, humble Jewish fishermen, who spread his gospel to us, and who brought us Gentiles to the worship of the one true God, who had revealed himself to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and to Moses. It's because of your people that the Catholic Church is the largest religion in the world and never ceases to sing the Psalms of David in the praise of God, the God of Israel. It's because of what they did that even groups who have broken away from the Catholic Church or from any form of Christianity at all still profess to be worshiping the God of Abraham. The Jewish people truly have been a light to the Gentiles. But now, even while it might offend you, the God of Israel wants us Gentiles to offer you that same light back again. There will be no peace, there will be no knowledge of God in a world of Noahidism and naturalism. The evil man who is coming and who will convince many that he is the earthly Moshiach, he will be a deceiver. You can avoid the catastrophes that we've talked about in this video. You can avoid being deceived if you take hold of the truth now, of today. If you don't take it now, then no, who knows whether you'll be able to discern the truth when this evil man comes, and coming he is. I made a show not long ago inviting Benjamin Netanyahu and all the Jewish people to come to our Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth. I explained how he fulfills all the messianic prophecies in the Hebrew scriptures. Here's a link to that video. So, out of the love for you, for your heritage, and for the light you have already given to the world, let me, and I'm really a nobody, but let someone who holds in his heart great love for the Jewish people and a debt of gratitude, let me invite you, our Jewish brothers and sisters, to recognize Jesus as the true Messiah, to see him for what he is. He is the flesh of your flesh, the bone of your bone, a descendant of David, the Shiloh, the desired of nations, the Emmanuel, the rod of Jesse, the captain to lead his people, the lion of the tribe of Judah. He is the fulfillment of the sign prophesied by Isaiah. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel. Let me invite you to consider him whom your heart desires. Consider Jesus of Nazareth. He is the God of Abraham. He became man for love of you and for us. He let his hands and feet be pierced for love of you. He allowed himself to be crucified to save you and all of us from our sins. He offered himself as the Lamb of God to take away the sins of the world and to grant us peace together. For LifeSite News, this is John Henry Weston. May God bless you.